To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
Patriots in field goal range at the moment. Here's one downfield and caught for the touchdown. Kyle Williams. What a catch.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
I felt like everybody that I talked to outside of the state that I was in all basically said the same thing. Okay? They all said, and you are going to regret it if you don't take the shot and you don't go to LSU. It's the best job in America with the best resources and to win it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. December the 2nd.
What is happening?
Delightful little start to December.
Hey, it is. December 2nd, man.
It's nice.
It is very nice. You get everything done, everything up, everything ready to go around the house?
No.
No. No. We'll get there. Give it time.
Oh,
no.
Yesterday was a late night, and I'm supposed to do some stuff today, but I want to go home and nap for like 3 hours. That's not going to happen.
Go take a snooze, man. You'll be all right. Get to it tomorrow. Come on.
We're on tight deadlines.
Got to get stuff done. Let's go.
Tight deadlines.
DCB, the landlord, Spregs. You got a lot cooking over there, man.
What?
You got a lot of responsibilities.
No.
You and your big real estate empire over
there. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a mogul. You know how it is.
Big deal over here. Got all those radio big bucks over the years. You're buying apartment complexes. I don't know what the hell the Sprags are doing.
Dusty called me Donald Sterling yesterday as I left work. That was great to hear. We're like, all right, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not that kind of person, but all right. Thank you.
You're probably doubling the rent, aren't you? No. Doubling it now!
I'd make a real strong argument of everybody in the marketplace. I'm at a very, very affordable rate compared to most.
I think based on what I've heard, the rate that you're charging, I thought, what? That's it? Look at you, Santa Claus, over there giving somebody an early Christmas present.
Well, that's kind of my goal here is I want people to have roofs over their heads.
Look
and
at that.
It's nice to have people in.
What are you, a good person or something? What the hell's the matter with you?
I mean, you know.
This is all about making a buck, dude. We live in a capitalistic society.
Give me 5 more rentals, and then we'll see if I'm a good person.
Then I can retire early, and you're paying twice my mortgage. This is great, dude.
Yeah.
Making
yeah.
money left and right on this bad boy.
It's, you know, it's, I don't know about you guys. I had a lot of fun yesterday doing the show. And if I have to drive, I think if I drive 20 minutes or longer somewhere after the show, I don't know what it is, but I just like by the end of that drive, I am crashing.
I just want to go fall asleep.
Yeah. Like I'm just, my eyes start getting heavy. I'm mentally just cooked. I don't want to do anything.
That sounds about right. That's basically me every day of the week. Now, I don't have a longer than 20-minute drive to get home, but there is that moment when you get home of like, all right, what are we going to do here? Are we pumping more caffeine into the system? Do we call a timeout for like 2 hours and just lay on the couch and see if we fall asleep?
You don't want to do that.
What's the protocol here? But there's also like a threshold I have figured out in the time on this doing the morning show.
Yeah.
Basically, after 1 o'clock for me, caffeine is off the books. At 1 o'clock is my cutoff. If I do anything caffeinated after 1 o'clock, then I can't fall asleep when I want to fall asleep, even if there's no nap. So there's that little fine line. I get home around 11 o'clock. You got like a 2 hour window. Is it nap or is it caffeine? Which way do we go? And it's going to dictate the rest of my day.
So if you wake up from a nap, let's say you wake up, how long is your nap on average, you think?
Dude, 30 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, power naps.
It takes me a long time to fall asleep. I'm usually napping when the kid falls asleep, and then he wakes up after an hour. Yeah. It took me 30 minutes to fall asleep, and it's like, all right, here we go. Let's do this again.
It's nothing worse than wanting like an hour plus nap and being interrupted halfway, but you are stuck because you have to wake up, or that kid's going to, he might put a fork in an outlet.
It's only going to get louder, dude. Yeah. It's not going to get any better, man. All the balls on my Christmas tree will now be in shattered pieces on the ground.
Right. Now it's home alone.
This isn't ending well for me.
Come get me. I dare you. Like, oh, man, there's micro machines everywhere.
He's got a tarantula he's going to put on my face. I'm terrified, man.
It's basically 6 hours of the Oklahoma drill.
Essentially. Just line up and do it again. Line up and do it again. All right. There's no off button here, is there?
Now, when my oldest, back in the day, we'd be the night show. I'd be on dad duty all day. The wife would go to work. Yeah. I'd be on dad duty. And I would also still get tired because I'd still wake up pretty early for most people and I'd exercise.
Right.
And so by the time my oldest would want to take a nap, I'd take a nap with her too because I'm like, yeah, I'm tired. Let's go.
Let's take a nap.
The worst part, I don't know if this happens to you, is if you fall asleep next to them, their version of fun wake up dad is let me jump on him. And it's like, not that they're the heaviest people in the world, but it's like, here's a 30-pound bag of potatoes. I'm just going to drop it on you mid-sleep.
And one of those tiny hands or feet always end up in the wrong spot.
Yes.
It's the knee. You got to worry about the knee.
Directly to the balls.
Just right to it. And you're like,
what's wrong, Dad?
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing.
I had to
find out one day.
was not quite asleep yet, but I got home yesterday, and I'm like, I just want to lay down. You ever just lay down on the floor? Like, I just want to lay down on the floor for
a little
bit. I
lay on the couch, and I just, like, I don't know, I zone out, and I'm like, it's been 45 minutes?
Like, all right, we're not quite napping yet. You got, like, 30 minutes here, buddy. But let's turn on a little Miss Rachel. Dad's going to lay down on the floor for a while. We did one of those. Quickly close my eyes, and the next thing I know, I have a kid sitting on my face with a dirty diaper.
Oh, no.
Just, like, I'm just like,
like, hold on, a pee diaper or a poo diaper?
Pee diaper, okay. Thankfully. There was no brown stuff in there, but just, like, thought it was hilarious to walk over my head and then sit down and then start giggling like it's the funniest thing ever.
It's
good
amazing.
Good morning. All right, cool. Guess we're not napping quite yet.
I don't know what the difference between scotch tape and diaper tape is, but we need to make scotch tape the diaper tape. Because I don't know, I'm sure you've seen this at this point.
Yes.
The amount of piss those diapers can hold stay on, and that diaper is clearly like at their feet hanging down with pee.
Yeah.
And you're just like, damn.
How is that possible?
How is that still around your little waist?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's the tape.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I like to use scotch tape for things once in a while, and I feel like half the time it's just falling off. And I'm like, what?
That's a good point.
What's the point of this tape?
Yeah, that Velcro that buckles that diaper together has some sort of adhesive.
It's unbelievable.
Unknown to mankind in its strength.
The tape that I really want, and I'm going through this right now, painter's tape is the worst.
Painter's tape sucks.
It sucks.
Like, isn't it supposed to be the most protective because you're trying to not paint certain things?
I think it's the most protective against things on your wall. But it's not the strongest adhesive.
It doesn't hold.
No.
Well, when you take it off, you don't want to pull the paint off.
Exactly.
Or anything else.
They have to give you the minimal adhesive.
Yes.
So it pulls and peels perfectly. But half the time, it's not holding at all.
I think the retail, like, stuff for, just residential owners, as opposed, like, you want to talk to somebody that paints for a living,
like
I bet they
painter.
Got something they have access to that's different.
I don't think they do.
They have an upgraded painter's tape that we don't have access to?
I think that's
what we're
alleging. There might be some industry stuff in there.
You think there's inside trading going on here, huh?
If you buy it in bulk as a painter, you get
something
the
like
10% extra adhesive. I think the best tape to use is packaging tape. Packaging tape is usually the strongest, in my experience.
Pretty undefeated, that
packaging tape. Last time we moved, you got the
packaging tape, though, like, spread out, like Saran Wrap, because once it, like, gets crumpled up,
then it's a pain.
Then you
got to
start
You're
over.
You're not undoing that crumple.
No.
You're getting a new piece.
You
got
to start
You're
over.
Just totally starting over.
Yeah. God,
no good there.
I love a good tape gun.
Oh, yeah.
God, good.
cuts everything. It's perfect.
It's the absolute best. You can tape everything. It's strong. It sticks. It's easy to use.
Yes.
You're not doing the thing with your fingers where you're like touching it and then one of the corners folds over.
Right.
And now that corner's screwed.
Right.
Now you got to cut that part off.
Yeah.
Absolute pain in the butt.
It's like what Costco Saran Wrap package is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Except mine, the plastic thing that cuts over the top always falls off.
Never works.
And then eventually the Saran Wrap sinks into the box and gets stuck on the roll. And now I'm inside a sharp-edged box, I'm slowly unrolling to try to find the edge of that Saran Wrap. And then almost always, as I pull out, I will cut myself a little bit on the sharp piece of the box.
I get to the point with Saran Wrap where I don't even use the box cutter anymore. I just take it out of the box, manually do it, and then rip it because it's easier than keeping it in the box and unraveling it.
Ah.
I give up. Like the first couple of times it works, and then it loses. It's no longer stuck to the cutter.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it's just, this is dumb. Now I'm peeling. Just take the thing out of the box, rip it with your hands like a man, and then you move on.
Like, what's the point of going through and making that box the way you've made it if it's not going to stay the way it should stay?
Defeats the entire purpose.
It does.
You know what else is like this? Now, I don't know how often you guys take dumps in porta potties, especially fresh porta potties, but I will from time to time, mainly in Eugene, Oregon.
Do you seek these out?
No, it's usually just for game days when I get down there. I'm driving for 2 hours drinking coffee and
it's a necessity.
It's right there.
Limited resources.
The show starts in 20 minutes
sure.
and there's an empty porta potty on my walk, and so let's make sure we're cleaned out here. But usually I'm there early enough where I'm the first person in the porta potty.
Not a better feeling in the world.
It's a great feeling because then it's not dirty and it doesn't stink, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is they never unravel the toilet paper for you. So if you're the first person to go, it's like that kind of crappy.
It's one ply.
It's not even one ply.
One ply
is like too aggressive.
You say it half
ply? I'm saying quarter ply here.
Wow.
Like it's almost
tissue paper.
It's tissue paper, essentially.
You're not wrong.
And you start peeling it, but it never peels perfectly. So then you got like half of one of them, and then you're peeling that part.
Sure.
And then you like keep going, and it takes like 40 rolls just to get enough to wipe one time, and now I have an uneven toilet paper roll where it's totally off.
Yep.
Everything's screwed, and it's and you don't realize it before you sit down. So you're sitting down, you're trying to lean over and peel the toilet.
You don't want to touch anything.
You don't want to touch anything. Yeah. It's an absolute pain in the ass. So hey, when we're putting the porta potties down, can we do everybody else a solid?
Can we start the
toilet paper roll so the first person who goes has easy access?
I like to put a good fresh roll on at the house, and I like to be the one to start it because I don't trust my kids to do anything.
No.
The problem is, on the occasional, it's stuck too much, so it half rips.
Yeah, a little
too much glue. You start unwinding, your toilet paper is now in half, and you're three layers deep and screwing it up. So now you have to cut through with your hand underneath, and then you got to basically waste.
You get a big clump.
Like 15 little squares to get more to an even level.
That's where you just blow your nose at that point.
Well, yeah, I try to, you use it for something.
Yeah.
Don't want to waste it.
It's 15% of your toilet paper roll. It's just gone.
It's gone.
In this economy, I can't be throwing those away.
Just gone.
There's the spider. Let's go kill the spider.
Yeah, there you go. We got that for the bugs. Save that for the bugs.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Could be easier ways to make all of this stuff more efficient.
You know what another first world problem I'm dealing with right now is? It's driving me nuts, and I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with this before. So the house we bought didn't come with keys. It's got a keypad on the front door.
I'm out.
You out on that?
I hate this. You know what? Can I tell you something real quick?
Sure. Fire away.
So I'll tell you why I hate the keypad. One of my biggest insecurities as a person is a home break-in. Because when I was like 7, my stepdad broke into our house while my mom was divorcing him. He absolutely destroyed our house. Like TV smashed, chairs ripped with knives, everything flipped upside. Like it looked like a home invasion. And so I think there's always been a part of me that's like, I don't want to watch this happen.
You lock, lock, lock,
I'm
double
a big
lock,
lock,
double lock
guy, right? Yeah. The reason I don't like the keypad, I have next level thinking of somebody's going to buy a blue light and they're going to on the pad to see where the human oil is what buttons to find out what my code is.
That's a very fair concern. Totally is. I've thought about that as well. The only saving grace for me is that the other owners, I'm assuming, had a different code than us, and then we changed the code, and so now there's a combination of numbers.
Sure.
But I've had that exact fear. I've actually loved it because I'm one of those idiots that'll occasionally lock himself out of his house. I did that once famously in a snowstorm years ago. Just out of habit. I'm a dumbass. Then you turn around, you're like, uh-oh, there's no way to get back in. I don't have a key. I don't have a hideaway key. What am I going to do? So keypad solves that issue for me.
Right.
I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's cold overnight. I don't know if it's because it's locked all night. It no longer locks for me in the morning.
So you leave your house and it won't lock?
I have to go wake up the wife to lock the door because I'm in there. I'm like punching in the code and it gives me the red light. And I'm like, that's the code. And then you do it again. That's the code. And then you do it like 20 times and it will not lock the damn door. And then in the afternoon and rest of the day when I lock it, there's no issues. It's only when I leave for work in the morning.
It's the temperature.
And I have for the last like week and a half spent 5 minutes standing at my front door trying to get the door to lock and it won't lock. And then I eventually just have to go wake up the wife.
Yeah, I think it's a temperature problem, but also like...
That's a pretty faulty technology. It's got to work in all temperatures. This is my key. This is my way into the door.
Yeah.
Is there a way to alleviate this?
Goes into our saran wrap toilet paper problem. It's like there's only so much they're going to be able to do with the technology to survive like 28 degrees at night.
I gotta go breathe on this thing for a while.
Basically,
put a hair dryer on there.
Yeah.
Give it some of that, like a dog, trying to warm it up before I leave my house in the morning. So now I gotta ice my truck to get into work and I gotta warm up my lock on the door.
This is why I will always want a key. I get what you're saying, but
I've now realized this is dumb and I want a key again.
You should if you ever get a key, you should have a hideaway key.
We definitely need a hideaway key. That's one of those things whenever we move in, we're like, oh, we'll definitely do that. And then 6 months go by and you forget to put a hideaway key out. And then you're locked out and you're like, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I do that?
The best is I had a buddy who put a key in one of those fake rocks. You remember those? They had the fake rock.
I do.
He put it, though, in a pile of big rocks, and he couldn't identify it half the time. Like, wait a minute.
Shaking every rock next to his front door.
And then, eventually, like, oh, that's plastic. Okay.
Every neighbor's looking at him like, oh, it's that rock. All right. Now I know where your hideaway key is,
man. Good to know. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to today. It is a loaded show. We've got two guests. We got Bill Connelly on at 7:30.
Yes, we do.
We got our final Connelly's Quarterly. Won't be the last time we ever have Bill Connelly on, but we'll do a final regular season check-in as we get into conference championship week. We got Lane Kiffin audio we're going to get to. We got Jamarcus Shepherd audio. Ryan Clark's going to join us, OregonLive.com at 8:30. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday as well. Loaded show. Let's start with some football. Next, Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's NFL Factoid Tuesday. We'll get to that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Very quick question. What was the genre, you think? If we're to guess, Swag, you don't know what I'm talking about?
No, he has no idea.
Oh, you missed this story.
The player is adamantly saying that this is not true.
If you missed the report.
Taking to social media saying, how dare you besmirch my name with this nonsense.
Well, I don't know if it's true. I just don't know who to believe anymore because Twitter has verified people, and now everybody is verified. So I don't know who's real and who's not real anymore.
The guy who reported it has about 30,000 followers on Twitter.
Okay.
So I don't know that probably doesn't mean anything, but I don't know.
It's okay, Swag. I will let you know, in case you turned on Monday Night Football at the start, you might have been like, It's weird. There's no Kayvon Thibodeau. Why don't I see 51 out there? Where's Abdul Carter? He didn't play the first drive. You know why? He reportedly got caught in a team meeting watching porn, Dan. He's addicted to porn.
Without his headphones on.
That was the report
that he was playing some porn on his device without any headphones.
Abdul Carter. What's the genre we're guessing with Abdul Carter? And I want to ask you this. We have meetings once in a while. We have a president coming into town.
We saw that.
If the president is here on Thursday doing a little, hey, how you doing?
Oh, and an employee gets caught doing that.
And one of us is in the meeting, and in that in-between pause, you just hear, yeah, oh.
Just get a little bit of that in the background.
Just that. In
just
the,
like, damn it, Sprague. Dude.
Turn it down.
Put your headphones on, Swigard.
I can't.
What the hell's the matter with you?
I can't.
Hit the mute button.
Uh-oh. The Bluetooth. I thought the Bluetooth was connected. The Bluetooth's not.
Am I getting fired or suspended for 1 hour of my show?
You were immediately fired.
So I'm not Abdul Carter.
You are not quite. You're not a first-round pick Odyssey. You're a first-round pick in my heart. I think for our corporate overlords, you're not a top-three pick in the NFL draft. A little bit different. He is saying that this is not true, but there was a moment.
Of course you would say this is not true.
That's a very good argument. It's a very fair point. I desperately want this to be true because it's one of the funniest sports stories I've seen in a long time. My brother-in-law texted this to me. And I didn't see it on Twitter. And I was like, wait, what? Like, is this possible? And I had missed the start of the game. And he said, yeah, he actually did not play the first. Because the tweet said
the first quarter,
he was suspended for the first drive.
It was a team issue, but I never.
First drive. Could not play the first drive.
Could not play.
Dove into what I assumed he was just late for a meeting or.
Well, if we're being honest,
he's had
like
issues
that.
All year, it seems like. This has been an ongoing thing for him in New York. Hell, I would argue for him, it started the day he asked for Hall of Fame players' number. Was the second
Lawrence
I
Taylor's
thought, like,
number.
Dude,
you're kind of off.
Yeah, I thought you were the best player in the draft. I thought the Giants got a steal getting you where they got you. You don't come out and ask for Lawrence Taylor's number when you're drafted. Like, how stupid could you be?
If we're only missing one drive because we got caught watching porn in a team meeting with no headphones, I'm going to assume it's pretty standard pizza delivery porn and not like...
There's a hole in the box.
Stepmom, stepsister, weird porn. What's going on here?
It's got really kinky all
You know what
sudden,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's like there's got to be levels to the suspension, so like...
You're not weirded out walking by it or hearing the audio that's happening. You're just like, dude, turn the porn off, man.
Right. I think it's standard, like, best friends become lovers after, like, she breaks up type porn versus, like, now
He's
you're going
to
categories
zone.
And subgenres of categories.
A kink on top of another kink.
Or...
We don't kink shame on this show, so whatever you want to do, but I tend to agree with you.
You can make... Cat pervert. Yeah. You can make a really good point, too, that, like, the level of porn, it might be anime porn.
Oh.
Because it's the least offensive. It's drawing porn.
That I'm not offended by. I'm more just curious, like, why...
I don't know.
I never quite got that one.
I'm just telling you, if I had to categorize why you're only suspended for one drive of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, a few follow-up meetings there with Abdullah. What's going on there?
And once I heard I just kept thinking, like, it has to be a certain level to only be suspended for a drive.
I mean, I thought Jessica Rabbit was hot when I was a kid, but then we grow up, Peter Pan. You know, there's real people.
Yeah, but as a kid, you might have watched it.
Yeah, like yeah, I probably would have. Yeah, you give me some Jessica Rabbit content. I think I would have her and Layla Bunny. Give me some Layla Bunny and Jessica
I think it's
Rabbit.
Lola.
Is it Lola Bunny?
It's Lola Bunny.
Give me those two together.
Betty
now
Boop.
We're in trouble. Hey.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Who was your cartoon character, Swigard?
Betty Rubble, wasn't it? You're Flintstones man. Look at you, you little caveman. You love meat. Mrs. Jetson.
They didn't need him last night. That's for damn sure. That game sucked.
Well, I actually thought it was kind of entertaining. We got a 94-yard return.
We did.
Jackson Dart was doing Jackson Dart things, and I saw something I've never seen in a football game in my life.
Yeah.
We saw a field goal kicker.
That was a new one for
kick
me.
The ground.
7-yard try now by Younghoe Koo, and he stumbled. Gillen gets swallowed up. Patriots ball. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen it a million times on the golf course when you wait for a par 5 green to clear and you're 200 yards out and then you hit it 4 yards. That's what happened. He duffed it.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I think everybody watching Younghoe Koo go to kick the ball and then instead his foot just goes straight into the ground said exactly what Troy Aikman said of, I've never seen that before. So did Peyton Manning, who also brought up an analogy you just literally said.
I have not seen that I've never seen ever. That. I've never seen
Uh-oh.
That.
Uh-oh. That's not good. Let's watch this.
I felt good about the holder throwing a touchdown until I didn't.
Oh,
what?
Did you kick the ground?
What the hell
Eli,
was that?
Eli, it's like one of your fat nine irons you hit. You just all
oh,
grass.
It's all grass.
Oh, that never was like. That.
I've never
oh
seen
my
that.
God.
That's what Dart said, Danny. Dart exactly said the same thing
what,
as you.
Exactly what Dart was saying.
Danny DeVito. On
I
the
love
Manny
that
cast.
It was. Yeah, of all the people to have on for that moment, it was Danny DeVito talking NFL football. Did he give an answer after the game?
Oh, that's a good follow-up. I didn't
because
check.
I did. What did he say?
He said the ball was moving.
No, it wasn't.
Underneath. That's what he said.
That's what he said. Okay. Because I didn't know if he thought that it was going to get blocked. Because sometimes you see kickers do that if there's like a free rusher and you're like,
he
oh god, this thing's going
to
get blocked.
That's
what
I thought. One other time in his career too.
He's done that before.
Where the bottom of the ball was moving.
Why didn't he want to? You can't kick it if the bottom of the ball's moving.
I think it makes you feel unsettled as a kicker.
He didn't want to get it blocked or,
man, isn't it better to try and kick it and not lose yards by having your holder get snapped in half by a pass rush?
This is a serious question, then we'll go to Factoid Tuesday, because the Patriots just bludgeoned the Giants. If you choose to hit a ball out of tall grass and you swing and whiff, it's technically a missed stroke.
That counts, yeah.
Right?
If
we all know
a
missed
stroke.
Yeah, but you have to swing through.
Yeah.
If you stop
it's your
not
swing.
A shot.
So if I go down in tall grass and my club stops before the ball because it gets stuck in the grass, that doesn't count?
That counts.
That would count.
If you attempt to hit the golf ball,
then I'm asking, is this the same as an attempted field goal miss?
Apparently not, because technically
that's BS. It
went
should be.
Down. It did not
it
go,
didn't
down
go down
as
a miss?
Field goal. It would be.
I think he's Chuck Knobloch right now, dude.
You think he has the yips?
I mean, he has faded into obscurity and got cut from being one of the better kickers in the league a couple of years ago. Yeah. Kickers are head cases.
He got cut this year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's like 3 years ago, he was one of the fun stories in the NFL, and dude couldn't miss in Atlanta. And now he got cut, and he's on another team.
Dude,
and he's
I'm
trying
looking
to
at
find
this
kickers
replay.
And relief pitchers are
this
like
ball's
their own.
Barely. It moves a little bit, but it's at the very beginning of his.
Yeah.
You kick the ball.
But I will maintain, again, like, if you're not going to kick it, you're going to lose more yards. It's better for your team, not that big
to
of
miss
a difference.
Field goal.
Just kick it. Yeah. Even if it goes 30 yards, nobody's back there to catch it. It's a non-good field goal.
It's more about if you think it's going to get blocked because you can't.
Look, I think the Patriots were always going to win that game going
that
away.
That game was over when it was 17-0.
That made it. That would have made it 17-10 if he just kicks anyway.
Yeah, you had the punt return and then that in the first half, and you're like, all right, that's
I mean, when you said it was over at 17-0, I was kind of with you, and then they scored. And I'm like, then the field goal attempt, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
One possession game late in the first half, not so fast, my friend.
Crazy. One team has won 10 in a row, one team's 2-11.
Yeah, that's why. Right there. One team's kicking into the ground.
Buddy.
The other team's getting touchdowns. NFL Factoid Tuesday is next. Speaking of Nut Up or Shut Up, pull questions up at Dirt and Sprague. If you got caught watching porn at work, would you be fired or suspended? You could vote there at Dirt and Sprague. Fired coming in as the favorite right now. But suspended is sitting there at plus 385, if you're curious.
Oh.
Expired.
Well, you know what they're calling? They're calling suspended here on this poll question.
What helps ease the pain of a triple backdoor?
That's exactly what that would be.
Could have been what he was watching.
That would be half. You're missing half the game. You're messing with the interior plumbing.
More than a possession.
You're missing more than a possession, dude.
It's a lot. I don't know how it fits.
I'll tell you that right now. Okay, that's an excerpt.
No, I'm just weirded out, dude.
Well, you're the one that said it, so I don't know what you're weirded out about. Let's get to our NFL Factoid Tuesday. Do it every Tuesday at 6:30.
Yeah, buddy.
Got some good ones today. How about this one? The last time the Chicago Bears were the number one seed in the NFC this late into the season was in 2006.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson was a quarterback at UNC, and Caleb Williams was 5.
Last time they went to a Super Bowl.
Via Optostats, Caleb Williams would be the first quarterback to rank last in completion percentage, but have his team be the number one seed since 1975. The last quarterback to rank bottom five and earn a one seed in the NFL, 2006 Rex Grossman.
Remarkable how history repeats itself. I actually give Ben Johnson a lot of credit. I had some stuff on them in my notes today where he did an interview. He was asked about the completion percentage and how to feel about it. He didn't shy away from it at all. He was like, we're winning in spite of our passing game. It's not good enough. We talk about it constantly. We have to get our numbers up.
Yep.
You can't be that. Completing less than 60% of your passes in the NFL is not a world that you want to live in.
No.
As the season goes on. And so a lot of times coaches will try and sugarcoat and say, why are we complaining? We're 9-3. We're the number one seed in the NFC. But I think he realizes they got to improve in that area. And I give him a lot of credit for that.
Well, there's just no point in sugarcoating.
No. Nope.
Right? Like Drake May, after last night, has a 71.5 completion percentage. That is 16 points higher than Caleb.
It's a massive gap.
That's crazy. If Devontae Adams gets one more receiving touchdown, he'll join a list of players with 15-plus receiving touchdowns multiple seasons of their career. That list includes Marvin Harrison Sr., who did it twice, Terrell Owens, who did it twice, Randy Moss, who did it four times, and my man, the GOAT, Jerry Rice, who did it five.
It's a pretty small select group. He has been a touchdown machine for them. Number one in the NFL with 14 on the year.
One of my many awful offseason NFL takes was that he was not going to help them all that much. That's not aged well.
These wide receivers are helped greatly when they play with a functioning quarterback, evidently. That's what we've learned with Devontae Adams.
How about this one for Go Beavs fans? Players with 5+ interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries, and a forced fumble in the same season since 2010. Charles Woodson in 2015.
Pretty good.
Marcus Peters, 2016.
Pretty good.
Minka Fitzpatrick, 2019.
Yep.
And Noshon Wright this season for Chicago.
How about that?
He's having a nice, great season for the Bears.
I mean, back to the point we were just talking about. Their head coach said we're winning in spite of our passing game. They're winning for other reasons. They defensively, like a lot of people are doing that to Philly right now. They got their problems on offense, but defensively, Chicago's found a way to win a couple of games. Not everyone, but it's been impactful here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it makes you think, like, I know the Bengals have really good talent, but it makes you look at that Bengal game and go, what?
Yeah, what the hell happened?
Like, how did that happen?
And that was a Flacco game, too, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a Burrow game.
But you remember, that was a crazy fourth quarter. They were largely holding that Bengal offense to almost nothing.
And then they just exploded. And everybody
had like 28 points, I think, in like 4 minutes or something.
Every other play, there was a touchdown going the other direction.
Nice little resurrection of his career. He played his first 3 seasons in Dallas, Wright did. And then out last year, back this year as a Bear. And he's having a phenomenal season.
Hey, go Beavs. How about that?
At cornerback, yeah. Players to generate 20+ quarterback pressures on a percentage basis, despite facing 20+ double teams that percent of the time in the same season, Micah Parsons in 2023, Micah Parsons in 2025.
Been pretty good. Been pretty good for Green Bay.
That's the list.
But he's not good stopping the run. I don't know if I'd like to. I don't know if he's worth trading for because you can't play him on first and second down. Why would you want a guy like that out there?
Did you hear Jerry Jones? I don't know if you guys saw this. I think this was last week. Might have been the week before. Jerry Jones said out loud they offered Micah and a first for Quinnen Williams.
If he's telling the truth, he's dumber than we thought.
There's no way that's true.
It can't possibly be. Because why would
the Jets not have taken that?
Right. You get an edge rusher who's one of the most dominant in the NFL, plus a first-round pick. For Quinnen Williams, a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Nobody disagrees with that. But you'd rather have Micah Parsons and a first-round pick? That was all about him trying to blow smoke up his own butt of, I traded for Quinnen Williams, and this is how strongly we feel about Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams has been good for them, but
yes,
I also have him because I'm what's the style fantasy football where you have to have defensive players versus a whole team defense?
I don't know. That's out of my depth.
I'm in it, and I don't know the name of that fantasy league.
Whatever that is.
That style. Quinnen Williams is on my defense, and he's had some good weeks. He also gets me like 3 points.
Yeah.
So, like, he's having a good run with the Cowboys, but, like, from a statistical impact standpoint,
doesn't feel like a game wrecker as much as the Micah Parsons is. But,
no,
he's a hell of a player.
He does draw double teams, yes. I'll give him that. But to the point I just made, people are getting quarterback pressures while facing the same amount of double teams.
Yeah.
It's only Micah Parsons.
He was huge on Thursday, man. He was massive
he
for them late in that
Lions.
Game. He completely dominated and took over.
You know how they have a quarterback spy? I was watching him get that final sack. Well, not the final. Well, yeah, I think it was one of the more pivotal sacks at the end. I know it's supposed to be the running back, but these running backs half the time suck at blocking.
Yeah.
You almost need to designate an edge rush spy. Spring in your big ass
tight
end.
Just have a fullback in there, I mean, at all times, and your only responsibility is blocking Micah Parsons.
I feel so bad for these linemen. They got to block these freak athletes that can do spin moves at full speed.
Well, especially him. I mean, he did this in Dallas too, but the way you line him up, and he's 4 yards off the line of scrimmage, and he's running, and you don't know where the hell he's going to come from. He spins around you. He's going left, he's going right. It's nearly impossible at times to block.
One more for you, and then we'll roll over our NFL Factoid Tuesday. Dirt, there have been 202 instances in NFL history of a team trailing in each of its first 12 games of the season. The 2025 Denver Broncos are the only team to win 10 of those 202. The next closest team is the 78 Oilers.
Shout out Earl Campbell.
Dude.
And a bonkers year for Denver.
It makes no sense. Denver's good. Get me wrong.
Defensively, they are maybe the best team in the NFL. Bo Nix, that touchdown pass that he threw, falling down sideways, keeping the knee off the ground, like hell of a play.
Hell of a play.
He was great with his legs on Sunday night. But they are, it just, fascinating team.
Then that pick to Bobby Wagner, you're like, what are you doing there?
I was going to do a poll question of like, who do you buy most as a Super Bowl contender? If you had to buy a ticket, like Denver is in this category. New England is, if it's won 10 in a row, are we there? Can they win the AFC?
I got a factoid on them.
Chicago, who I have tried to kill for a month, is the number one seed in the NFC. Are they a legit? Like, can they win the NFC? Like, what ticket are you willing to buy right now?
That's a good one.
Who else would fall into that category? Who else are we missing?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
They're 8-4.
They might win the damn division. What happened to Daniel Jones?
Houston, Houston's red hot.
Jacksonville's in first place now in the AFC South.
Saw a funny 49er meme a fan made, and it was a graphic, and it was on the top part of the graphic. It was a guy walking in, and it had the Bears logo 9-3, and a lady looking back and saying, "Ooh, you're the number one seed in the NFC." And then the bottom half graphic was the same picture, but the guy had the Niner logo, and the girl turns and goes, "Ew, you'll barely make the playoffs. You're 9-4. I'm like, yeah. That's the NFC right
there. That's the way it works right there.
More NFL factoids we roll over next on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get into some college football at the top of the hour. You can always count on Sundays, the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream the local NFL game every Sunday, just $30 for the first year. Visit paramountplus.com/NFL to get started. Let's dive back into NFL Factoid Tuesday. With the Panthers' win Sunday, Dirt, Bryce Young has now conducted 11 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter of overtime.
Yeah, buddy.
It's the most by any quarterback since entering the NFL in 2023. Of Young's 13 career wins as a starter, 11 of them have featured game-winning drives in the fourth quarter of overtime. So he's either all-time garbage, or he is wrecking and breaking your heart at the end of the game by having a game-winning drive.
It goes one way or the other. Let's play the fun game of what the hell are they going to do? Are they going to do something stupid this offseason?
They don't need to. I think they can kick
they got
that
another.
Can.
They got one more year to kick it, but this is when that conversation begins.
I think they're kicking
They're currently 7-6.
He's terrible.
They get the Saints this weekend.
Yep. And you're going to give me the game he had, what, 2 weeks ago? We had like a 400 yards,
dude.
Then you had this game.
They just beat the Rams.
How do you do against the Niners?
My knowledge tells me that if a quarterback wins a head-to-head matchup, they're a better quarterback. He's now better than Matthew Stafford. This is how it works.
But he's not better than Brock Purdy.
No, he's not.
He was pretty terrible in that game.
And they did lose to the Saints, so I shouldn't count anything as a win because they just lost at home to the Saints like a month ago.
They're going
to
kick the can, dude. They're not paying this dude.
I know. They should.
If they do.
But I love when you get random stats like that of a guy who's not been good. He's had a couple of random games, the Atlanta one that you point out where he goes for like 400 yards or whatever it was. But just that somehow they put it together when they need to and make a couple of throws and find a way to win a game.
Infinitely better at home than on the road.
Yes, he is. Their entire team is.
I feel like I'm probably sounding like a Bryce Young hater.
Yeah, what's your beef, man?
I've said this before. I wish he was like 6'3". I'd love Bryce Young. Everything about the way he carries himself, his composure. He seems like a good leader. I don't know.
It's hard out there for sure quarterbacks, man. Ain't an easy thing to do.
Buffalo won an ugly game in Pittsburgh. We know the Steelers' offense was truly horrific. How bad? It was the third fewest yards they've ever had under Mike Tomlin in a game. They were also terrible defensively. Buffalo finished the day with 249 yards on the ground. Swigert, I want you to pay attention to this. This is right up your alley. Buffalo's 249 yards on the ground, it's the most rushing yards by any visiting team at Pittsburgh since O.J. Simpson did it in 1975.
The juice.
He was loose.
The juice was
at Three Rivers Stadium
in Pittsburgh.
Was that his 2,000-yard season?
Good question.
Ooh.
What year did you say it was?
75.
75.
September 28th, 1975.
So I know he was the first for 2,003 yards, the first to do it in the NFL.
His year with 2,000 yards, first year was 19. The only year he did it, 1973.
What do you have in 75?
1975, he had 1,800 yards and 16 touchdowns. Both numbers led the NFL.
And I believe that was still a 14-game schedule.
That was a 14-game schedule. Yep.
There had to have been so many conflicted people in America when that trial was happening.
Oh, yeah. That's why it was such a moment in time in
America. I know.
Hurts commercials, man. The irony of all this, too, is like if you didn't watch the game and you just told me they ran for that much on Pittsburgh, I'd say, damn, Josh Allen probably broke a bunch of long runs, right? He only had like 30 yards on the ground. It was Cook and then, you know, a back-by-committee situation, but it wasn't like Allen went off for 90 yards and that's how they got there. Ray Davis also had 62 yards on 9 carries as well.
It's too bad those Steelers receivers suck. It definitely wasn't Aaron Rodgers' fault that they had the third fewest yards ever under Mike Tomlin.
It's not his fault he was 10-21 for 117 yards.
No, not his fault. Despite a league-leading 20-1 record, the Oklahoma City Thunder currently could end up with picks 5, 9, 14, and 27 this year.
Computer's not working. Let me play drops.
Let me repeat that one more time.
Put Sam Presti in the Hall of Fame.
Do we give up? Like, at what point do we just give up?
20-1 record.
Call me in 3 years, NBA.
Point differential through the roof. And currently, as it sits today, they would end up with picks 5, 9, 14, and 27.
The good news is
there's three lottery picks in there that could potentially be the number one pick.
No, the 9 pick that they have is a Utah pick. It's top 8 protected.
Oh, okay.
But if right now it's slated
right
to be
now,
9.
It's not. Yeah,
and so they would
lose
get
that
it.
One.
Yeah.
Do they even have any money left or roster spots available for those?
They're kind of the new age Rams.
Like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it kind of just works for them.
Because they extended all three guys, right?
Yeah, they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, Chet got. I know SGA got his deal.
Chet, Jalen, and SGA.
Yeah. So you're going to, I mean, not a lot, but rookie contracts, you know, maybe that
rookie
you can
contracts.
Fit that into the CBA. I don't know how that works.
Tim McMahon says it's the biggest fear in the NBA is people are aware of how many picks they have in this draft, which is supposed to be one of the deepest drafts in 10 years.
Yeah. Legitimately, what do we do if they win like five straight titles?
You put Sam Presti in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, sure, he's in, but that would be horrible for the NBA.
I think there's enough history to suggest you're wrong.
Spurs won 5 in 15 years.
Yeah, but
that's 5 in 15 years. If OKC wins 5 in 15 years.
Yeah, but to counter my own point to Dirt, the Spurs have some of the least watched finals in NBA history.
They were incredibly boring. Them versus the Pistons is one of the most boring NBA finals.
I think it's the lowest rated finals of all time.
72 to 64 final scores.
If you can separate the Thunder from OKC, they're one of the most entertaining teams.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. But you know that's not how America works.
I know.
SGA is a foul hunter. He doesn't have a lot of personality. His commercials are insufferable. Chet is one of the
just weird,
phoniest dudes. I mean, I cringe when I watch interviews with that guy.
Jalen's good.
Jalen's fine. I don't know a lot about him. I don't see him very often, not in the NBA bubble. But I think
is he back from injury?
This isn't like a Bulls run with Portland. MJ and the biggest face in the league, or Kobe and Shaq, who, we hated them personally, but it wasn't bad for the NBA, or Magic and Bird back in the 80s. You're talking about a middle-of-nowhere market without any stars that are top of the line, likable guys in the NBA.
What are you doing? It's NFL Factoid Tuesday.
You got me going on that.
Well, it's just crazy.
But I'm just genuinely wondering, like, because we're in the Western Conference, guys. You know that?
Nobody's pushed them harder this year.
You're not wrong there. Technically, you're not wrong.
The Broncos and the Patriots are co-favorites to win the Super Bowl. It's the first time Denver's been a favorite to win the Super Bowl since week 14 of 2011.
How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd bet on them, but man, that defense is going to give them a chance to win every single game. We're also, I shouldn't say I don't think, because Buffalo got a win this weekend, but before Buffalo won, I had the thought going into that weekend with Mahomes losing on Thursday. Now, Burrow did win, but Lamar lost. I don't know who the hell's going to win the AFC North, but I thought, the universal four best quarterbacks in the league for everybody are Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar, right, in different orders or whatever. I just had the thought of, what if all four of those guys missed the playoffs?
If you believe that Herbert is fifth, he just broke his hand. So
he did, and he won, though.
He thinks he's going to play Monday night. They got the Monday night game.
I'm sure that's not going to hurt him at all.
You see the Raiders defensive lineman try and take a shot at it? That's why he got so chippy at the end of the game.
The Jags, Chargers, Bills, and Packers all won in Week 13, bringing the total of teams at least four games over 500 to 12. According to Elias Sports Bureau, that's tied with 2,000 for the most teams at least four games over 500 through week 13 since the 1970 merger.
It's a combination of really good teams and a lot of really bad teams in the NFL that everybody is beating up on.
The Patriots are currently the number one seed in the AFC behind Drake May. He's 23. The Bears are currently number one seed in the NFC. Caleb's 24. Since seeding began in 75, there has never been a season where both number one seeds started a quarterback under 25 in the playoffs.
I don't know if either one will get it. I don't think Chicago will be the number one seed. New England has a legitimate shot at it.
New England has the best shot because Denver's division is a wild card sometimes.
Yeah. Totally.
They have
totally
Kansas City again. We'll see what happens there.
And we'll see when Buffalo and New England play again, how that game shakes out.
And final one for you, the AFC South is currently one of three divisions in the NFL with three teams over 500.
It's going to be a fun look back and flip it or stick it in our preseason picks, where we flip to and how that division ends up. Because as of a month ago, it felt the Colts were a lock to win that division.
I think we owe the division an apology. They're finally having a great season.
I will apologize to the AFC South. Good division.
There you go. NFL Factoid Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday at 6:30. Loaded second hour of the program. We'll start with some college football top list for Dirt. Where is it all going to shake out? And Lane Kiffin audio, Jamarcus Shepherd audio as well. Bill Conley at 7:30. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me.
Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.